Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Pre-Market Prep. Happy Wednesday. Hope your day is off to a good start. We got a lot going on today. We're going to talk some EV stocks. We're going to talk earnings, Target, Lowe's. You know the drill. Anne-Marie Band is our guest today. Very, very excited to have her on. She's always an absolute pleasure to talk to. Let's get the show started. Let's bring on Joel and Dennis.
Hey, the prodigal son has returned to us. Dennis, Dick.
I'm here.
He has power.
I have power. is back.
So it turns out, a bit of misinformation, you do have a generator, but yes, it is not hooked up to
It is going into my new house, which we know I've been building a house forever, and the build will continue forever because it's the slowest build in the history of builds. But so that's going to continue, obviously. I have a generator. It is actually in a box in storage, too. And it's Generac, too. So, you know, Generac got the sale already. It's sitting there just waiting to be installed. So there will be one, but not until I move into the new house. And I wasn't going to install it into the rental. So no generator in the rental. So I will still be at the mercy over the course of this winter of power outages. But
what I should get
is one of those little... you know what? Best Buy, you can go in and get one of those like little power like boxes there for your computer that'll run it for like a couple hours. You know what I mean?
So wait, you have that? Is that
no, I don't have that. I need to get that to get through this winter because if the winter is going to start here in Georgian Bay on November the 16th. I need to be a little more prepared for that because we got 6 inches of snow yesterday. 6 inches.
It doesn't bode well for the rest of the season.
No, we're in November. I'm like, isn't this a little early? I was talking to my mother-in-law. I'm not used to the weather up here because obviously I've migrated north from Windsor, which obviously has mild weather down there. And I'm like, is this normal? Because I actually might cancel my build and move back to Windsor because this is not that much fun when I'm out there shoveling ice snow in the middle of
November. This is how you know Dennis is Canadian. He called Windsor mild.
Well, it's south of Detroit. We're south of you guys. Look at the map. I'm south of you guys when I was living in Windsor. It was mild. They call it the sun parlor. Ontario calls Windsor area, the Essex County, the sun parlor. That's the nickname.
You know, Dennis, you had been talking about building that house for how many years?
Yeah, and I waited till there was a pandemic to start it. How dumb am I? As smart as I am in the market, I got to be the dumbest house builder in the history of house builders. Building at the worst possible time, slowest build, the material cost, buy the lumber all at the top. Oh, yes. I screwed this house up royally.
I wouldn't have thought that 4 to 6 inches would be enough to knock out your power in Canada, of all places. I mean,
I don't think they were ready in the middle of November. But anyways, apparently it was like on a main generator in the town.
Whatever.
I don't know what you call those things. Anyway, so it knocked that out, knocked out half the town. At 7:30 Eastern, I got a message that power should be restored within an hour. Well, then 8:30 came around. And 9:30 came around, and I missed the bloody open. And then finally at 10 a.m., okay, now I'm up. I was trying to trade for my iPhone a little bit, but that is like, I can't even imagine, you know, if somebody's trying to actually make a living trading from their iPhone. So here's a learning experience from myself. I'm used to all my tools and everything else. When I was trying to trade for my iPhone, I felt completely naked. Like I had no idea what was going on. So if you're trading and trying to make a living trading from your iPhone, you are trading naked. And we're not talking naked shorts. You're just trading without any information. You got to be in there. You got to pay for information in this business to try to even remotely have an edge. And, you know, at a bare minimum, here's a, I'm going to pitch the Benzinga Pro for you. At a bare minimum, get a Benzinga Pro, get something, have something. Don't try to trade without any information at all, because obviously I didn't have my Pro yesterday and I felt naked without it.
What'd it cost you?
I actually did the math just for fun. It wasn't that bad. I ended up, if I would have sold, so I couldn't get out of my stocks, all my hedged positions until 10 a.m. I got out of some stuff in my IB account. I exited out of all my trades actually on the open because I could trade that. But on my other account, I didn't have access to really get in there to trade. And it was going to be too messy, sloppy trying to get out of like 35 trades and trying to get the hedges. So I kind of just let it go. I was like, okay, it really should be 50-50, right? You're all hedged up nice. You know, it should work for you just as much as it works against you. It never works for you. So anyways, I just for the fun of it did the math. And if I would have got on in the open versus with prices that I got out at 10 a.m., I would have made an extra $3,000. So the outage cost me $3,000, basically 20% of the cost of my generator right there. So get a generator. Have power.
All right, let's get restless. The chat's getting really restless here.
They don't want to hear power.
Okay. Well, I know. We kind of, you know, you put this new introduction in here, and now we're just all off the format. S&Ps.
Wait. Why is Playboy up on the screen? Can we get that one off and get
because Joel, that was the last
you're looking at naked girls here. Come on.
That's the last stock we talked about before we.
There we go.
Joel, they all say that one. They all say that.
Yeah, when Playboy just happens to be on the screen.
Yeah.
And, for those listening on SoundCloud, I guess they don't anymore. It was actually a stock chart. It wasn't Naked Girls.
No, it wasn't actually. Okay.
Are we going to cover any stocks? S&P's down for 46.92. Really, no numbers. 01, we stopped it on the upside. 90.50 on the downside. I think. We're just floating in this 46.90 handle. I think it's important to stay in there and get back up, test yesterday's high. Crude's in the red by $1.67. It's 79.09. That's bearing down on the recent low of the move in the 78 handle. Gold up 11.90 at 18.66.20. Silver up a quarter at 25.20. Bitcoin futures, they're bouncing back, up 770 at 60,500. We need to stay in the 60K handle. And Ethereum, that's going the same way, up $48 at 42.47.75.
All right, let's start the show with kind of the same thing we started off the show with yesterday, which is just EV mania. Every single day, I feel like we're repeating ourselves now, but I'm not quite sure what else to really say about it because you got Lucid going to the 60s. We have a bet on the table right now between Mitch and producer Enver about what does Lucid hit 70 today. You got Rivian, you know, with the market cap, you know, we're rivaling like what Ford and GM here. You've got Canoe, which is GoEV, ripping higher. They had some announcements last night. You got Fisker hasn't slowed. Well, slowing down here in the last hour, but up to almost 25 this morning. Every day, it's just it's more of the same.
I will say is in about the last 10 minutes, they pulled the rug out from a lot of these EV names here. I don't know what just happened in the last 10 minutes, but Rivian just fell $12. In the last 10 minutes. Bring up the pre-market chart. Let's go to Rivian right now. Somebody just said something or something happened. They just pulled the rug out from a lot of these trades here this morning because I'm looking here. Fisker, same thing. Just I haven't sold any Fisker. Maybe I should have. But it's pulling back here now. It was $24.50 like 10 minutes ago. It's $23 here now. What just happened?
I'm just now seeing that. You know what? There's no reason for the move up. I highly doubt there's a reason for the move down.
That's a violent move, though. That was a violent move. Somebody said something. That's a violent move. That's a violent candle. That's a news candle. I can tell when it's news. Rooftop, that is a news candle.
Rooftop is saying a cautious note on Lucid from Morgan Stanley.
Morgan Stanley's been a mover right now. I'm going to tell you right now, the most influential analyst in this market, it seems in the last week and a half, is Morgan Stanley.
So, Mitch, what number did I give you? And when we were talking, what number did I give you?
These guys, Joel, they just don't pay attention to the levels, man.
Levels are important.
Start paying attention to those levels. We
62. 62. I think Enver. Wait, I got a question. We got three producers now?
We should have five.
Well, who's the executive producer?
Right there.
And then what are you, Mitch?
He's right there.
I'm the local trader here at Benzinga.
You're the assistant, and you and Emma are assistant producers?
Yeah, sure. I'm not a producer. I'm a producer by habit, but I'm a trader. That's what I am, Joel. You should know that.
Okay.
On, you're going to win this bet with 60, Ember,
I almost won it already. It was 57 on the downside. I almost won it already. Before the market opens, I'm hungry.
Oh, you're 57 on the downside?
I'm hungry. I'm ready to eat.
Man.
Come on.
Where was it when you made this bet?
It was at 61.81.
This was about an hour ago.
Wow.
About an hour ago.
All right. So we're looking here. And like I said, the EV rug has been pulled out. We will get you. There is news here. And maybe it's the Morgan Stanley cautious note. But I'm going to tell you there's news here in the sector because they pulled the rug out exactly 10 minutes ago. All these EV stocks just started getting hammered. So something happened. I'm obviously doing the radio show, so keep researching in the background. Let's go to Lucid. It's been the biggest mover here. It's been going straight up. I feel like it's doubled. The stock is literally doubled in less than a month. What's the stock? What do you do when your stock doubles in a month? You at least sell half. So you're playing with the house's money. That's my opinion. So I think, you know, we always talk about sell your peanuts while the circus is in town. Circus is fully in town here. Can it go to 70? Can it go to 80? Can it go to 100? It can, but you got to contend with that old pesky high, Joel.
Yeah, that's the only thing you have.
And that old high was 64.86, 64. That's the all-time high back in February when we had bubbles and everything. That was where we came back to. And it's not coincidental this morning that we get up to 62 and we start to struggle. So I think you will have struggled to contend with that new all-time high. Seeing Rivian fall as hard as it just did, seeing Fisker fall as hard as it just did, Lucid has been the leader here in the last few days, but Lucid obviously just gave back $4 as well. Be cautious here. I'm not sure what the news is, but be cautious.
What we need to do and what we need to keep track of here is there's really only one number. I'll give you that 55.68. Okay, that was the high, but that closed at 55.52. So that's what I'm keeping an eye on. As long as if this thing can hold the close, if they could, you know, get down, if they could find buyers to hold that close, then I'm not going to make any prediction where it's going to go on the upside. If it takes out 55.42, there are going to be a lot of people saying exit. So if it stays green, you know, it's fine. I would not be buying it at 58.30 with the 55.50 stop. Maybe that's the right trade to do. But, man, and how many days do you see this where a stock will make a new – well, it's not an all-time closing high, but will make a high. The next day it will improve on that high, but it won't improve on the close. And that's the key. This hasn't happened yet today. It can very well close above 55.52. Maybe, you know, we'll see. But that's number. If you're looking to protect some profits, that closing price is – that's where everyone's marked. And that's where everyone that can't trade in the pre-market saying, oh, I'm still up $3. Oh, I hope it holds till the open. And then, boom, see when the liquidity comes in. So what are the other ones? Rivian.
You've got to be careful in these sudden flushes like this. We do see them in the bull, and the trend is obviously still intact. But when you see these sudden flushes like this, it catches a lot of people. So then what you'll see is backing and filling on the upside. So you get the boom, it's been running, flush. And then you get a little back and filling. It's like, oh, people who just bought this thing looking to get the money back. Say, bag holders from this morning. Does that, you know, mean we've topped out in these stocks? Not necessarily yet, but it's a cautious, you know, tell here. 10 minutes ago, we may have topped out here in the pre-market. We don't know that yet. Yeah. Rivian is down 15 points in 10 minutes. That is down 10% almost in 10 minutes. Well, it's significant enough to matter.
It's more than 10 minutes. I don't think it's the Morgan note because the Morgan note was out a couple hours ago. So yeah. I don't think it's that rooftop in the chat.
It could be somebody just said something on social media, in media. It could be as simple as that. It could just be, you know, maybe it just started and then the algos pull the plug. I mean, this is algorithmic driven here as well. Don't kid yourself. You can look and say, oh, this is retail. And some of it is retail for sure. But there's algos, there's momentum algos that'll sense the momentum turn. And then they all hit the exit at the same time. And you do see these flushes happen. But now we've seen Rivian, like, it's still falling here right now.
152.
You're down 17 points.
Oh, wow.
Since in literally 15 minutes. I'm looking at that candle. It's a 15-minute candle, isn't it, Joel?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, we're still on the same candle. We hit 176 in this candle. So we're down 16
points. I'm 154. I'm 154 bid.
That's $4 away.
You watch. 153.78.
Are you joking? Or you're saying it could bounce there? So you're saying paper trading it here. You're not actually trading.
No, I'm not. I wouldn't buy it at one. I would buy it at 154 if I was short for sure. Actually, if I had happened to hit that, I'd be like 57, 56, 55, 54. You know, layer it down and then just boom. With the bigger size lower, because that was yesterday's low, 153.78. We'll see.
We got a market overall now falling here too.
Yeah, so we do.
This is not coincidental. We were actually flat, believe it or not. We were flat about, I don't know, just
a few minutes ago.
Just 20 minutes ago. And now we're starting to see the market fall out of a lot of different things here. So you got to be cautious. I mean, this is very interesting here.
We're in an interesting market. Look at the parallels there. Look at this. This is Steve. I'm just gonna watch EVs and trade dispos. I don't need anything else. Look at this. That's it. Boom. The same bar there. But
the Rivian brings the SPY down. It's not even in the SPY, but it's I think it's a catalyst. That's a big turn. I think it's a catalyst here. The SPY,
well,
because you got the S&P's falling out too.
When you're worth more than GM and Ford, yeah. I mean, right?
Yeah, that's just unbelievable.
Well, we said that about Tesla. We said it about Tesla. Me and Joel were early on the Tesla and saying, is Ford, you know, should Tesla be worth more than Ford and GM? Now it's worth 10 times as much. So that argument doesn't hold water. I'm going to say again, when the story is hot, fundamentals don't matter. The question is for Rivian, did the story just cool off dramatically? I think it did. I think I'd be selling pops right now.
Ooh.
I mean, just an example here of the Rivian. I was talking about the close. The close was 172.01. So, you know, you came through it on this candle and then you tried to rebound. And then on that rebound, what you got to 176? I mean, who's splitting hairs? You know, that's 4 points. It's looking like a pretty good sale now. So, buyers trying to make a little stand here at 158. But yes, today, the low from yesterday, that is the big number. Any one of these stocks we want to talk about? Tesla?
Well, you got them all going down. Tesla is obviously not participating. It's been ignored from all this. This is the Tesla catch-up trade is why, you know, oh, is there going to be, you know, so Tesla's not selling off this. It's up $11. But if you want to look Rivian, you've got obviously Lucid, which is, you know, still holding up at $3, $4 off the highs. Now, my Fisker, which I'm still long, just fell significantly as well.
Go EV is the other one that was
running. It's up this morning. There was news on Go EV though.
It's up this, yeah, they're all up this morning, Dennis, but they're well off the high.
Rivian's not anymore.
Well, all right, fine. But yeah, I mean, Go EV just moved in the same direction as the rest of them in the last 15 minutes. So Go EV had a bunch of headlines last night. They announced their like production goals, manufacturing goals. They said it's supposed to begin manufacturing by the end of the year. That was a big move. I would just be cautious on. Dennis said he wants to sell ribs here. 9 o'clock is when Robinhood comes online. Let's get through 9 o'clock first and then see.
So you think Robinhood's going to rescue these stocks?
See if the dip gets bought.
It could. This is early. The dip could get bought. I mean, we're back to where we were yesterday on Rivian. Yeah. So, I mean, this is not, you know, this dip could get bought. So I'm not going to say that. And I would say yesterday's low, the low that Joel just gave you, 153.78, is critical support for that. So you definitely want to see it hold. As long as it holds yesterday's low, you can go dip shopping, but you've got to hold yesterday's low. If this thing starts going 153, 152, 151, then all of a sudden you're looking at the candle from the day before at 127. Vomit. So you got to hold yesterday's low. That's the critical support for Rivian, I'll say.
And Lucid will be red by the time it may be red by the time Anne-Marie comes in.
It's Lucid's been a monster right now. So there's obviously people in shorts who are caught in this too. Don't kid yourself. There'll be some that are caught in it. So pullbacks, these are very hard stocks to trade. This is the hardest stuff to trade. This is not my bread and butter. I'm trading any of these things. I own some Fisker long term, but I'm not trading any of these things. I don't get in here and like, oh, I'm making all my money in Rivian. Why? Because it's too random. The moves are too random. I mean, here you are. You're saying, oh, yeah, it's going to 200 at 172 this morning, and the stock's at 157 in your face. I don't like losing 16 points. I don't like losing my money. I'm in it to make money. So it is random. You're at casino stocks, and everybody is attracted to these things, and the majority of traders will probably lose money trading these things. So, yes, there's going to be some people that kill it. You'll hear about all of them on Twitter. You will hear about every single person that makes $10 on Rivian. You will hear that on Twitter. You will hear crickets from 99% of the people who lose. So you get the skewed impression that everybody's making money in this stock except you. And it's not reality. It's social media reality. It's, you know, the metaverse. In the metaverse, everybody makes money. No, in reality, these stocks are very, very difficult to trade. So no, I'm not trading Lucid. I probably will not. I'm not trading. Will I get down and dirty in them sometimes? Sometimes. But my bread and butter is more stability, because I'm, you know, all about discipline and cutting losers. How do I control the risk on a stock that falls 17 points in 10 minutes? I can't control the risk there. So I don't trade it.
Actually, what you hear, Dennis, is not crickets. What you hear is everyone doubling and tripling, quadrupling down. That's what you really hear.
They do.
I'm holding. I'm not selling.
Oh, yeah. They don't sell. A lot of people just don't sell. Yeah. And they'll, you know, and the problem is that when you get bubblicious in a lot of these stocks, like back in February, and then they come back down, like, I'm holding forever, eventually I'll get my money back. In a bull market, most of the time you get your money back. And we've been in bull markets forever, but there is definitely some bear markets, and there's some stocks that don't come back. So you've got to be careful that you don't get caught, you know, and obviously and tied up. And again, stay diversified. Don't go 100% in on one stock. I know people want to get rich fast.
Hell
they want
yeah.
to play the lottery. They want to buy lottery tickets. You know how many lottery tickets I buy in my life? Zero. I never buy a lottery ticket. I don't do any sports betting. I don't do anything. People think I'm a gambler. I don't do any of that. You want to do it for fun? Do it for fun. If you're trying to buy lottery tickets to get out of your lifestyle, to change your life, the odds are it's not going to do it. So a lot of these stocks are very difficult to trade. A lot of these stocks are like lottery tickets. Find consistency. The stocks like this are hard to trade.
That's it. Winner, winner, chicken.
Yeah, you won on that. LA Staples
Center, the market opened,
to be renamed Crypto.com Arena. Did you see that?
Yeah. What is that?
Staples Center in New York, in Los Angeles.
Man. When they start changing arena names to that makes me want to sell my Ethereum.
No.
When they start changing stadium names to crypto.
Don't do that.
That makes me feel like, okay, it's time to ring the register and maybe take the profits. I've doubled my money in Ethereum. I've more than doubled my money in Ethereum, and I was actually thinking about selling half.
No.
No, don't sell.
Don't sell. Don't.
All right, I won't
this
sell.
This is making a long-term thing, please, for me.
Yeah, but here I am. I saw peanuts while the circus is in town. The circus is in town, a lot of things. Nothing is long-term. You make things long-term, you know. In the long term, everything sucks. I mean, you die at the end, right? So you got to take some profits along the way. What is long-term? That's what you got to define for yourself, is what is long-term. I do suck at long-term investing. I will say that much. But, you know.
Let's go to Lazy Boy.
I'm making it a goal. Before the end of this show, we are going to tell the Lazy Boy story. We haven't told it in a while.
They don't want stories. I told them my power was out. Everybody got mad. Yeah, they want true. Stock tips. Yeah, they don't want stories.
Okay, so let's move over here, away from the EV stocks, onto Target. Let's go to retail here. Because we had Walmart yesterday. We had Lowe's yesterday. Home Depot yesterday. Home Depot's report was great. Walmart's report was pretty good, too. It wasn't amazing, and it wasn't quite up to Amazon snuff, but it was like still not that bad. They didn't like it regardless, though. Target, kind of the same story here this morning, right? I'll give you the Target numbers. All in all, it didn't seem like it was that bad a report to me. The EPS beat. The sales beat. The comps were okay. It kind of seems like we're splitting hairs here. Between Walmart and Target on their earnings reports. The headline numbers were pretty good.
It's just tough when you go from 220 to 270. I mean, and that's kind of like the Walmart had the same thing. I mean, the thing had – when does Walmart move 13% in a month and a half? That's what you had. You had the street selling into the report. It just seemed like no matter what they did, it was going to go down. So looking at the Walmart and then looking at the Target, I wouldn't stand in the way of this thing. Pre-market low, you did have a spike under 250, 248, 70. I don't even see anything. What are all these lows right here? Let's see what happens at 252 and then the pre-market low. A lot of lows at 252. I'm surprised it got through there. But look at what they did to Walmart yesterday. I'd be cautious here trying to buy the dip in this one.
It's not a big move, too. Expectations are very high for Target. People feel like this is best of breed, which I've never totally understood. But I you got an awesome level, 252. That's a big level. Let's see what it does there.
Yep.
CEO was on CNBC echoing the sentiment that he's bracing for, expecting for a massive holiday shopping season, which he doesn't have to say that. If he doesn't think that, he should say, we think it's going to be a softer season. But he said, nope, we think it's going to be a strong season. So there's Target, and then there's Lowe's this morning. Those are the big two. Lowe's echoing Home Depot, just like Target's echoing Walmart here, because Lowe's, their EPS beat, their sales beat. They also raised their guidance for the fiscal year, and they poured a $3 billion stock buyback, and all that comes out to stock that is trading higher again.
I will tell you, this is a rarity where you have Home Depot beat and rally, and then the next day, Lowe's goes too. Usually, you see a reversal. So this is actually not, you know, usually the norm. It's usually Home Depot misses and then Lowe's rallies. So maybe it's just the play is just buy Lowe's out of the report because they always beat. But up 10 bucks, new all-time highs. I don't know. Hard to be bearish. The stock making new all-time highs. I don't have any levels even for you. I've never been up.
No, there's
before.
Nothing. No, it's 250. 256 is what you. I don't know when or what price it's going to come from, but it might be on the open. I think you're going to see like a red, the first 15 minute bar, just a huge red bar. I really do. I don't know. It could be, we could be at 259 and go to 256, but I've seen those trade on earnings. I've seen it go from down 10 bucks to up 10 bucks. I've seen it go up $5. It's a wild one. And I just think someone, after it got the love yesterday on the Home Depot, and then now, you know, I got long. All right, this is great. Now they got good earnings too, and this is blasting off. I'd be curious. I think you see a big red bar in this one, pretty in the first half hour. But hey, been wrong before. Keep an eye on it. 256 at your pre-market high.
I'm wrong every day, Joel. Lots of trades.
Yeah.
So you just got to be right more than you're wrong.
You don't even
have to be right more than you're wrong. You just have to have bigger winners than you're losing.
I think I got this thing at 40, and I would love to sell it. But
you're still in Lowe's?
Yeah.
Joel is the best long-term investor.
No.
So you want the short-term trading. I'm pretty good at it. You want the long-term investing idea.
Yeah, because you don't sell, and then you get a Peloton. Man.
Diamond Hands Alkonen. That is what his name is.
I said,
Diamond Hands. Paper Hands, Denny. Diamond Hands, Joel.
No, don't look at it. Because I don't look at it, Des. You look at it like, I'm up.
Non-stop. Can't stop looking at it.
You can't look at it. I don't even know the sign-ons. I don't even want to look at it.
Never stop looking.
Joel doesn't know he's logging for anything, actually. It's not just his portfolio. It's most things. We have a few minutes here before we're going to bring on Anne-Marie Band. Let's rip through some more stocks here. We have TJX, sticking with the retail theme. TJX also reporting earnings this morning. EPS beat 84 cents versus 81 cents. Sales also beat 12.5 for $12.25 billion. I have not looked at the stock. Ooh, nice pre-market chart for TJX.
It's ripping. Yeah. No stopping. No stopping now. I would say I would be keeping. There's only two levels you can worry about right now. 74.34. You hit that on August 27th, and then 75.20. Then you start. Then you get into the all-time high. If you absolutely want to hold out for 76, you have my permission. But it's a triple top, so you better get your order out there at 75.90. Just so when they blow through it, you know, you make sure you get done. I can't tell you where to buy it, but TJX having a good report.
And I think that was it as far as notable. We had Baidu. I forgot about Baidu. Jeez.
Did it go to 180?
Baidu.
Yeah, Baidu reported this morning, overnight here. Earnings per share beat the estimate 2 to 2.28 versus $2.01. Revenue did come in a smidgen on the light side, but we'll call that in line because we're splitting hairs here, but it was a smidge light. They said that their cloud revenue grew 73% year over year. Looks like that's their highest growing business line right now. Core revenue up just 15% year over year.
What about their car? Don't they have a car? Don't they have an electric car?
Yeah.
That was part of that move here.
Yeah,
it was. Yeah. That's what they were talking. I'm buying no Chinese stocks. I mean, it's just too difficult here right now. They haven't really participated much. You think about the rip roaring rally that we have had in pretty much all stocks here in the last month. And a lot of these Chinese stocks have really gone nowhere. I mean, FXIS in the last 4 days has done pretty good, but in the last month, we're basically flat. And if you look at SPY over the same time period, it's up like 5%. So, and that's obviously, I just think it's tough. There's still a bitter taste for a lot of Chinese companies in this market. I'm not sure what changes that. So somebody was asking me about NIO the other day. Why is NIO not participating in the EV rally? Because it's China. It's from China. Yeah. XBEV, though, has been participating. Somebody was arguing that with me. So is NIO sleepy? I tried NIO. I was in it for a bit. I actually made a couple bucks on it, but it's just, it's not participating, which is concerning.
Baba's holding it in there, considering.
It's not going up, Joel. I mean, think about what it's holding in there. Think about what mega cap tech has been doing here in the last, like Microsoft, boom, just blasting off 310 to 340 in 3 weeks. You know, think about even Apple, had disappointing earnings, but they bought it right back. And Facebook with the Meta. I mean, I throw Baba and just in the mix with it all just because it was mega cap. It was trading with mega cap tech for a long time. Mm-hmm. But now it's just got the China bitter taste in it. So above 170, could Baba break out? Could you get some money in it? You could. It's setting up. At least it's holding in there. You're right. I'd say you got a big level, 170. I'm just looking at the chart there. I like that 170 level. Above 170, maybe it gets interesting, but the overnight risk is still high in the stock.
All right. Next.
What are we going to do? It's 8:30.
I want to go to PayPal.
Yeah. I thought he was going to say PayPal or Visa, but
the Visa story is good too. Can we get them both in? So they're all tied in a little bit, the same thing here. They're getting disrupted. I mean, the payments in all cases, Visa, MasterCard, PayPal, are all getting disrupted. That was the note from Bernstein here this morning. They're worried about disruption here hitting PayPal. Just when you think PayPal is getting some life, it's starting to get off the mat, putting the four bottoms at 200. Oh. It's lifted for a few days. Cramer's been fully on board and buying. Then you have the problem is here's the biggest problem when you're buying stocks that are in downtrends. Not only do you have bag holder shareholders, the investors that are all down, you have bag holder analysts that will be looking to a pop to downgrade into. So obviously Bernstein was bullish. They had a 260 price target and they're like, we're wrong on here. So they wait for a little pop and then they hit it with the downgrade so they don't look as bad. Okay, we downgraded 215. So just as much as investors like to sell the rip, the analysts do too. And when you got stocks and downtrends and then they rip up, you have a lot of bag holders that are saying, okay, this is my chance to get out. Analysts saying the same thing. So it gets hit with the downgrade this morning. And then Visa news, which we should tie into it.
Let me just talk PayPal real quick, because you did get a bump, the quad bottom Dennis is talking about. So, if you're going to fade this analyst, you feel you missed the 200 bottom. It hasn't gone to 207.5, 208. That'd be half of that move. If people want to step up here, they really want to own this or shorts or a little bit, tepid. I'd say I keep eyeing that 207.5, 208 area. Okay, go ahead.
And the Visa news. Give us the Visa news.
Yeah, Visa thing is probably part of a longer macro industry-wide trend. And what Amazon came out and said this morning, this is according to Reuters, is that they're going to stop accepting Visa-issued credit cards in the UK because Visa charges higher fees on their transactions. Ooh. So this is probably not
bad.
Like this specific headline is unique to Visa, obviously, but this is probably part of a larger industry-wide trend where there's this fee compression between this basically a race to zero, right, between Visa, MasterCard, and American Express, who can have the lowest fees. So I can't imagine it's good for the other two either.
There's disruption all through this industry, right?
What about your MasterCard that you own at $4, Dennis? Does this make you a little nervous about that?
My average cost is 11. Yes, it does.
I lied.
I was hedged a little bit. I'm trying to hedge a little bit of it. So I'm actually hedging some of it. I don't want to take the gain, so I'm hedging out.
I might take
the gain in 2021, but I've had too big of a year to take a 2,000% gainer. So I did hedge part of it. I hedged part of it. So I don't know if I'm going to hedge at all, but I've hedged part of it.
What did you hedge? You don't want to reveal what you hedged.
No, it doesn't. I'm just saying I hedged. You can do it. There's so many different ways to hedge, but it's the typical ways to buy some puts against it. So that there's all kinds of different ways.
Okay.
Sell upside calls, but if you're really nervous about it, there's lots of different ways to hedge a long-term position. So this is just, positioning myself to get me through January. where I can reanalyze it, because I, like I said, from a tax perspective, I absolutely cannot sell my MasterCard right now. So I could hedge myself to get myself to January, where then I'm starting a new year, and then I can reanalyze. Not saying I'm going to have a bad year next year, but I don't know. If, you know, I know I'm had a really good year this year. So
I know what you did. Anymore. You sold calls, and then you took the money from the calls, and you bought downside puts. Right?
Maybe. I'm only I hedged half of it. I hedged half of my position. Maybe I should hedge the whole dang thing. I just hedged it yesterday, actually, too, because it had this run, Joel, and I was like looking.
Yeah, saying, I know.
It's come back nicely here. Maybe now is the time to hedge a little bit of this. So I hedged some of it.
Oh, good for you.
It's 8:35. We'll have Anne-Marie Ban on in just a second. Before we bring her on, I just want to do a quick plug. We're going to have two big interviews on the channel this afternoon. We're going to have Fubo, the CEO of Fubo, David Gandler, and fun. the CEO of Solo, Electromechanica.
More fun.
That'll both be on Benzinga Live at like 12, between the 12 and 1 o'clock hour this afternoon. So Fubo, Solo, it's not very often we have two big public CEOs on the same day, the same show. So that'll be in a few hours from now. I'm not sure where Anne-Marie is. I think she'll be here.
Oh my goodness, Anne-Marie.
No, she emailed last night. She's all
I need the calming voice.
She's all confirmed. She has the link. I'll shoot her a text right now. But
can we do a technical on Fubo while we wait here, Joel? Because sure. What the hell just happened to Fubo is what I want to know.
Just now?
6 days. Six days. This went from 34 to 24. Obviously, it was bad earnings, and then they just can't stop selling it. Is that it? What? I don't follow the Fubo story close enough anymore. Was it earnings five days ago? I'm assuming it was earnings.
Specifically 5 days ago?
Yeah, when it went from 34 to like 29 in one day.
That was, well, it was not 5 days, but yes, that was earnings, yes.
Okay, 6 days ago, trading days ago. I can see it in the chart.
Yes, that's
so, what I mean, this is what happens, and you miss. 23. A lot of times the dips don't get bought, and then they continue to get sold. You got a big level, don't you, Joel?
23. Yep. If you want to wait, I mean, I don't know. You might have missed it when it went to 22. You bounced and closed at 24.14. Let's see what happens in that 23 handle. You know, maybe you get to 23.60. You lean on that 23, but you got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 out of 6 lows in that area. Gotta be good for at least a bounce. 23.12 or 23.22 yesterday, so kind of makes it tough. But 23, big number. 5-star, 6-star, 7-star.
That's a big number. All right. I think we've got Anne-Marie. Anne-Marie, if you're good to go, give me a thumbs up. I think she just got up from her desk, actually. She's here, but then she got up from her desk. So let's wait till she gets back.
That would be good.
Yeah. We don't want like an empty desk on the show. Anne-Marie, give me a thumbs up if you're good to go.
I don't see her.
Oh, wait. She can't hear me yet. She's putting in her headphones. Okay.
I can't see her in the green room.
She can't hear me.
Can we talk Roku really fast?
Three producers cannot bring on one guest.
She's here. Anne-Marie, give me the thumbs up. Wait, she can't hear me.
Okay. Roku, while we wait, because this is their time. So
$10?
She will be here. Roku got downgraded this morning. So more analysts trying to get out of the pain of the Roku trade. This is your stay-at-home play that is no longer in favor. Every rally has been met with more sellers. Now it's starting to break down and make new lows on the move. That is not good news as well. We did see a rally in Peloton yesterday, a relief pop because this has been straight down for so long. Zoom got a little relief pop the last 3 days. I think Roku would have been due to have a relief pop, and now it gets slammed. I believe, I don't know who downgraded it, but I believe that's good.
When you look at these kind of charts, you can look at it two ways. You're like, oh, look at all that support.
Moffitt, Nathanson.
It's built its support. Though. Yeah, but then when it just starts to hang out there too long, I mean, how many times do you see that? Then it just gets flooded. Yesterday was a decent day. Oh, boy, people are caught in this one, too. Closed near the high of the session. Everyone's banking on this 269, 270 low. Let's see. Now it's going to be resistance. Old support is going to be new resistance here. Resistance at 270. You fill the gap at 69.29. But Roku, and if you're looking on your next monthly candle, you may not want to look. The next monthly candle comes in at 357. Oh, that was a high. Oh, 272. That's wrong. 200. Hasten to say 196.52. Oh, boy.
I think it could eventually have a date with 200. Not buying the dip on this one.
I guess Comcast isn't buying it.
Somebody said Disney's buying it. Disney would be smart to buy Roku. I cannot see.
Why?
Disney. What? Why? There's no content here.
Why? Well, yeah.
There's no
it's
content.
A little device that you plug in your TV. It's
basically TiVo. But, you know, we all needed it. I own two of them. So, I mean, it's, you know, it's awesome. I love my Roku. So I love the product. They're trying to put content on their Roku station. I actually was watching a Roku show the other day. Remember that Great American Hero? Do you remember that show, Joel?
Great American Hero? Yeah, the guy
Greatest
with
American
the...
Hero?
Yeah, I used to fly around in that suit.
Believe it or not, I'm walking
on air.
Yeah. I remember I used to watch that as a kid, and it was on the Roku. I was just flipping on, what is on this Roku? Because I never look at it, because I got my Netflix on there, my Disney Plus. I was like, what is this Roku station? And then it was like advertised top Greatest American Hero, and I was like, there's some good throwbacks on that Roku channel, so I'll give them that. They got some good throwbacks, but you want a streaming play? This is not the streaming play you're looking for.
All right.
You want a new – wait, real quick before Amory, you want a new TV show?
Sure.
Joe Pera.
What?
What is that?
It's about this guy that lives in Marquette, Michigan. He's a choir teacher. And he just is the nerdiest guy in everything.
What platform is this on?
I think it's Apple TV, but I think we watch it through HBO. And it shows Northern, it takes place in Marquette. It shows the locks where they bring in the iron ore. And this guy, I'm laughing so hard I'm crying watching the show. Okay. You got to watch it. Joe Pera. I'm telling you. Watch it. Where's Anne Marie?
She's here. I'm trying to bring her on. You know what?
Okay. I want to talk to Anne Marie. I got a question for
Anne Marie Band, who runs thetradingbook.com. Let's bring her on the show. Look, there she is. Magic. Anne Marie, good morning.
Yes. When you're hiring, it feels amazing to finally close out a job search. But what if you could get rid of the search and just match? You can with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. One of the things I love about Indeed is that it makes hiring all in one place so easy. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. In the minutes I've been talking to you, 23 hires were made on Indeed, according to Indeed data worldwide. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/prep. Just go to Indeed.com/prep right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/prep. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Hey guys, how are you?
You doing okay, Emery?
Yeah.
Are you running around?
Jet lag.
Oh, okay. So listen.
Camera jet lag too.
You're one of the 80 people I follow on Twitter. And so I see your tweets and you've been retweeting. Are you a big basketball fan or something? I've been seeing you retweet a lot. Are you a Penn State fan?
Well, our youngest son graduated from Penn State last year. And because of COVID, he had an extra year of eligibility. And they really treated him terribly there. Terrible, terrible coaching, terrible call playing. That's why the entire staff was fired. But anyway, he went into the portal with, you know, 3,000 other kids, and he got picked up by UMass as a graduate student, and he is having he's having the best games of his life. He's just leading the Atlantic 10 in steals.
Really? Your son?
Yeah. Yeah.
What's his first name?
That is amazing.
Trent, and his last name is Buttrick, of course.
Yeah.
Look at him. He's zero.
I see him. He's good. Yeah. That's fantastic. Yeah. Now, I'm a huge UMass fan now. Did you see?
Well, now. Yeah. Yes. He's been to all the games.
Really?
He's been on the road.
What did you say he's leading the conference in?
Steals.
Wow. That is fantastic. Congratulations.
Thank you. Monday night, he played his old team, Penn State.
Yeah, I saw that.
All-time high. Yeah, an all-time high in points and rebounds. And he just shy of a double-double, but he's just starting.
Congratulations.
He's just starting. And thanks. Listen, it's been a hard road. Penn State was a very hard school for him to stick out. They were really, really – it was tough. So we're really glad he got picked up. So he's on scholarship there, getting a graduate degree. And, you know, we'll see what can pull out. He's crossing his fingers for an NBA look. And
how tall is he?
6'8".
6'8"? So your husband must be pretty tall.
Yeah. Well, I'm his stepmother, but I've known him since he was one.
That's great. Okay. I'm a sports fanatic. So, real quick question: do you know what former NBA and now a really well-known college coach started out at UMass?
Calipari.
All right. Oh, you're good.
Anne-Marie.
Sports.
Joel had your fun. Had his fun. Let's bring it to the markets here.
That's right.
That's why we're all here. High-level thoughts on what you're seeing out there.
I think we've got a sideways rotation in the market. People are thinking about year end a little bit early. They're starting to take some of their winners off the table. And we can see that from some of these crazy high flyers that have just been slowly dipping back. And so we can look at the pocket of general memes and market chasing groups, and we can see those are pulling in a little. I think it's people just being a little wise about coming into year end, thinking about, all right, I'm going to bank some gains. Don't really know what's going to happen with the Fed here, but I'm just going to be a little bit chill and I'm going to pull out of my individual names. And when the dips come towards the week before expiration or the week of expiration, I'm just going to buy a little bit of the index so I can stay in the market. But I'm going to start rotating out of these big names. That's what I think they're doing.
Here's a good question from John in the chat. He wants your thoughts on oil.
Okay, so my suspicion here with oil, and we'll look at WTI, which I was on another show, and I'm so tired. I was like, what is the name of this contract that we trade anyway? Yeah, I totally forgot it. It's terrible. So what I believe is happening is that oil is rotating. I would like to see what the John Kemp's note on what the hedge funds did on this past Friday. We'll see that. Actually, it should be out. I will look for that. But he normally tells what the funds are doing. It looks to me like they're rotating back out. So again, Joel just said a minute ago, old support, new resistance, old resistance, new support. My thought is that it comes back into around this 76 region. This is not a place to be really buying a dip right now. Here's the thing. As we push ourselves towards alternate energies, we have to realize that just about everything we do runs with something out of this petroleum base. Hey, listen, but I'm looking at lithium. Guess what fills up those things that dig down into the earth, hopefully you know, it's being sustainably mined, not sending small children down in there with buckets, but not to say that doesn't happen, but they're using big machines, and those big machines are being run by diesel, they're being run by other kinds of fuels, and so, you know, oil is not going to dip. It's going to take 50 years for us to get off the oil, and I'm not really sure that we do. That's just my personal opinion, right? So okay. As we look at this rotation, we can see the fade coming in because of two things. My thought is one is political. We're coming into the midterms and the current party in control is going to have, and this wouldn't matter whose party it was, whichever party it was. I think they all belong in the rubbish bin, but the rotation at around that $80 mark, no American is going to go, yeah, sure, I'm going to vote for you if my fuel at the pump is, you know, $3.50 a gallon. And that's just everybody ends up voting with the pockets. It just is what it is, right? I mean, it really is. It is what it is. And so my suspicion is it's going to be pulled down. They're talking about, you know, opening up reserves. That's probably not going to happen. OPEC is saying, hey, we're going to have a little more. Now they're putting out articles about new strains popping up, potentially giving us trouble in the fall. But we've got this push and pull between what we need and all of this climate change and environmentally sustainable type chatter going on that's going to give us a push and pull that will leave oil generally elevated. My thought is above 70. Long answer, really sorry about that, but we really are seeing a rotation, and I'm thinking to myself, I'm not going to touch this on a long until it's back down at around that 74, 75 area, and if I do, I'm going to touch things from a way out of the money short put environment. There's no way I'm buying it straight out right now. I have no idea what kind of chatter is going to come out that's going to push and pull us.
You think the talk about the strategic reserves is just posturing and
chatter?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Okay. Yeah, okay,
chatter cool. To bring the price down. Yep.
And Vinny with an interesting comment in the chat. He's like, "Hey, I've got a car loan. You know, why would I switch to an EV when I've got this car loan that I, you know, even once I pay it off, you know what I mean? I just spent 10 years paying off this car loan for a gas, you know, a gasoline based car. Why would I just switch to EVs? How many people are in that boat? Is an interesting idea as well.
That's true.
So what, Anne-Marie, what are your thoughts? If we can pivot here from gas to EVs, I mean, what are your thoughts on what you're seeing out there? We spent the first 20 minutes of today's show talking about the huge run up, and yes, every show for that matter is every day is EV this, EV that, because you can't ignore it, because every day they just go higher, except for today apparently. But I just, like, what do you think about, obviously they're all overdone, but like that doesn't mean anything, you know what I mean?
Exactly. We are living in a market where value is it's got a question mark behind it everywhere, right? And it's because of liquidity. And so my thought again about those sorts of things in terms of, okay, so what am I doing? So I like a few of them, right? That are backed by GM and the like, right? In this EV space, I think, okay, where is the biggest money sitting with the least risk? And so although you can chase some of these high flyers, you can't take a position and head to the beach or whatever.
Sure.
I mean, if you're in Australia, you're getting ready to head to the beach. Us, we're not so much. But if you're looking at something like that, my thought is always, you know, I sound like a broken record every time I'm on here. So my thought is, what makes those things? And those things, no matter who's high flying, those things are going to get bought. That's lithium, that's nickel, that's cobalt, that's tin, that's all of the things that make batteries. No matter who's up or who's down, those things are still coming out of the ground, because that's really the components driving whatever. So we go past that to chips and the things that make chips. Really, that's it. And so for me, I'm looking at buying any kind of giant dip that comes in Applied Materials, Advanced Micro Devices, lithium, anything like that, right? But I'm not ever buying the highs. I'm waiting for a dip and then I'm selling a put. I've become very conservative because my thought is every morning I wake up and I go, I wonder if we'll limit down today. There is a sense of something's getting ready to break, but as long as the Fed keeps buying and that buying floods money into the market, that liquidity is going to keep shoving prices up somewhere. And so what we have to really pay attention to is what is happening with that liquidity, right? So we watch LIBOR, we watch overnight, we watch who's filling in the gap. And really, there was an article, I think it was in March, it said that the Fed was sitting in the repurchasing window to help everybody sitting around, and everybody was like, oh my gosh, that's big news. They're still doing it and nobody's talking about it.
Anne Marie, let's just talk strategy for a few minutes here. And obviously you're talking about buying the dip on stocks that are in uptrends, which is something I was talking about before. I've always struggled with this, even, you know, 22 years in my career, is when do you exit? Like, how do you know when, you know, it's time to ring the register? Because we've got a lot of people who are sitting on Rivian here, and the stock's been going straight up here for five sessions. I mean, you're talking about in literally 5 days, the stock went from $95 up to $179. Incredible move. Now you see a flush here this morning where it drops 20 points in literally 20 minutes in the pre-market. How do you know when it's time to ring the register?
Okay, so my thought, if you are trading something like this and you're looking at it and you're thinking, you know, I'm going to hold it for a few days, every night before bed, you sit around and think to yourself, all right, where's the last real area of support? And if I look at that particular chart, I see that we've got 152.90 as the high from 2 days ago.
Yep.
So my supposition is always this: every old high gets to be retested at some juncture, or else we're climbing up, you know, those things you see in the circus where some guy is balancing a bunch of chairs on his head or nose or whatever. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Got all the way up, and then there are some plates up there, and finally a girl, you know, you see crazy things like that. No, you know what I mean, though. So I think the market is kind of like that. And so if I'm doing some kind of high-flying motion, I'll always look at 2 days to the left and I'll go, what's the high there? And I'll say, if it falls to the floorboard, which that would be the floorboard to me, 2 days prior high, if it's running, I love using the 5 simple moving average. It just is such a, I mean, on the 4-hour chart, you can just see, hey, if I'm closing a candle above that, I am perfectly fine. If not, I look to the left, find the last edge of congestion, and I use that as my support, and I go, okay, if I break that, I'm out. So we have 152, and then below 152, we're really looking at about 134 to 127. Somewhere around there. And so there's a lot of fading. So the question is, when do you take profit? I take profit every time I see my price action spike to new high and then begin the fade into the five, if I'm trading it like that. So yesterday, if I'd have seen the 180 level coming around and it began to fade, I would say, you know what? My last 4-hour high below that was 170. I'm going to pull some profit off. If it comes into that 170 region, I'm just going to take some gains. My suspicion is always look to two candles to the left. Watch what those guys are doing. If you get anywhere near inside their bodies, you need to take some profit. So I'm actually going to be talking about that on the boot camp.
I was going to say Anne-Marie Ben will be at our boot camp this Saturday. I just put the link in the chat. I'll put it on the screen for everyone right now. I'm not sure what time you'll be on, Anne-Marie, but you will be there going in depth on everything that you just talked about this Saturday. Yeah. Link on screen, link in chat, link in description as well.
I want to throw a curveball at Anne-Marie, okay? Yeah. This is a tough one. What if they boot Powell and bring in Brainerd? How's the market going to react?
Oh, she froze.
So that was a freezing question. I wasn't going to answer that one either. So.
Well, you know, I never want to go off the top of my head because there's all kinds of crazy stuff up there. So I try to think through and, you know, the market hates uncertainty. That's really the only thing that we hate. And so if we don't know, we know what we've got in Powell. He's incredibly transparent. He's got a shtick that he sticks to. Pulling in someone else could give the market a few jitters. It's going to be a buying opportunity. And it's going to be a buying opportunity because liquidity is still sitting there in the near term.
Okay. Good answer.
All right. Anne-Marie Ban, she runs the tradingbook.com. You can hear more, see more, learn more from her this Saturday at the Benzinga Boot Camp. Anne-Marie, it is always a pleasure to talk with you. Thank you so much for coming on the
show. Thanks, Anne-Marie.
My pleasure.
Go UMass, my second favorite basketball team.
Go UMass. All right. All right. Thanks a lot, Anne-Marie. Hey, it's 8:59. Damn, we ran out of time for the Lazy Boy story. I'll put it on the list for tomorrow. We will tell Dennis. It's been so you don't even know. You assume it's been like two quarters. It's been like 2 years since you.
It's not been 2 years.
So we're gonna tell the Lazy Boy story on tomorrow's show, but we gotta wrap it up here, guys. Any final thoughts?
My final thoughts are that we got a double close. The all-time high close was yesterday, 96, and then we had a 94.25 close, and there were sneaky sellers out here. So for me, really important for the market to just get out of this 46.90 handle, take out the pre-market high, show people who want to be bid in a 4,700 handle, and then take it up and make a new all-time high. Below the pre-market low, I don't know. I'll be looking at the short side. But great show today. Guys, I'm going to hop off. I just, on our site, either later today or early tomorrow, will be sign up for the best educational event ever, okay? Order execution is going to be on premarketprep.com. We're making up the agenda. This is a can't-miss event. We will have that up for you later today. So, everyone, have a good day. Back with you later on.
All right, Joel, see you later. Dennis, I'll see you later as well. Have a good rest of your day, sir. Everyone, we have our next show coming up live right now, live trading with Benzinga. Mitch, Ryan, Junaid, myself, and a special guest from another Benzinga guest today, surprise guest on today's show. That'll start at 9:05 approximately, so right after this show is over. Just a few housekeeping items. Like I mentioned, the Benzinga Boot Camp. It is this Saturday. It is the last boot camp of the year, all day, 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern time. You go to BenzingaBootCamp.com. You click on the link I just put in the chat. The link I'm going to put on the screen once again. There it is, Benzinga.com/events/boot-camp. Check it out. You know, all day education event this Saturday. Let me think what other housekeeping items that I have to address. Where are we at on the like front? Can we get to 300 or 400 likes? I think we can. I think we should. I think we will. We're at 312. Let's get to 400 likes in the next 2 minutes. I think we can do 313, 314. Let's get to 400 likes. I'd appreciate that. Hey, please remember all the information from our show meant to be used as informational purposes and not for investing or trading advice. Thanks to Anne-Marie Band. It is seriously always a joy to talk to her. I'll never forget when we brought her on in March 2020 when everything was crazy. You didn't know if the sky was falling or what, and she came in and she was calm and she relaxed us and she made us realize that the world is not ending, even though it might seem like it was. She is one of my all-time favorites, one of my all-time favorite guests, one of my all-time favorite followers on Twitter at Anne-Marie Trades. if you follow her there, but she's just the best. So that'll be a wrap for our show today. Benzinga Live. I'm sorry, Benzinga Live Training with Benzinga starting right now. And then stay tuned to Benzinga Live today at noon. We're going to have the CEO of Fubo and the CEO of Electromechanica, ticker SOLO, on the show in the first hour. I'm going to hop off here. See you guys over on the next show. Let's make some money.
Did you know nearly all stock price changes of 10% or more result from a single news headline? That's right. News headlines have a unique ability to drive stock prices up or down. These news catalysts create trading opportunities every day. All you need is a little help to reach out and take them. And if you're looking to grow your portfolio, it doesn't matter if your investment budget is small or big. An easy-to-read stream of news headlines will increase your opportunities to profit from price changes in the stock market, consolidate a knowledge-based investment strategy, and grow your portfolio. All you need is Benzinga Pro and its powerful news alerts, price tracking, and portfolio monitoring to make a positive change in your trading performance. We've already helped thousands of retail traders across the world, and they could not be happier. Increase your market knowledge, boost your exposure to big movers, and make informed trades before major price changes. The opportunities are all around you. Subscribe now, and we'll skyrocket your portfolio today.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.